Jesus in John chapter 12 is focusing on service. Notice verse 23 of John chapter 12. Jesus answered them saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." So the phrase we're going to focus on today is this phrase, "serve me," as spoken by Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to your precious word today. Lord, that we would focus on hearing from you, and Lord, that you would work miracles through your powerful word in each of our lives as we think about your words and service and sacrifice. I pray, Lord, that our desire would be to honor you with our lives, and Lord, that we want to obey you above all else. So I pray that you'd be glorified in this service and pleased and guide us every step of the way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus said the hour was very close where he would be leaving the earth through the death, the burial, the resurrection, and ascension back to heaven. And it was very close. Right after this chapter came the upper room with the disciples, verses 13 to 17, and then, of course, Gethsemane, the mock trials, and the crucifixion of our Savior. So it is very close. And he was prophesying here about his death, but also talking about how we need to die as his children. But notice verse 24, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." He's using things that we can all relate to, something that you put in the ground and grows up into something big and something useful. He's saying that unless we're willing to die, we're not going to be fruit-bearing Christians. And he's about to die as well for all of mankind. And will bear the most amazing fruit ever, which is salvation, eternal life. But he's also teaching us that he wants us, as we talked a couple weeks ago, to be fruit-bearing Christians. That's not going to happen unless we're willing to die to self. Now, most of us know Galatians 2:20. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." So how can that be? How can we be crucified, in other words, killed, but also live? Well, the old man has been crucified. And the new man, amen, has eternal life. So we need to die to the old man if we're going to be a fruitful, effective servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I die daily." If you look at Colossians chapter 3 quickly and verse 1, Jesus makes this very clear that we are dead. The old man is dead. And Jesus wants us to reckon it to be so that we can be fruitful. Notice Colossians chapter 3. "If ye then be risen with Christ," it's talking about the new man, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." Verse 3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." The old man is dead. But he wants us to live as if the old man is dead so that the new man can be fruitful. Amen? That's what he's teaching us. If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. John 15:8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." God wants every believer to be fruitful. Look at Romans chapter 6, if you would. And Jesus wants us to understand that what is already doctrinally true, we need to live, and that is that the old man is dead. Notice what he says here in Romans 6, verse 11. "Likewise, Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. Reckon it to be so. Amen? Dead unto sin, but alive unto God. So reckon it to be so that we have been crucified with Christ. The old man is dead, and unless we're willing to crucify him daily, we cannot be fruitful. This is what Jesus wants from us, to be a fruitful Christian, but we first must die to self. Let's go back to our passage, John 12, verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Same thing. We need to be willing to forsake this life for him. We talked about this in Sunday school today. Paul in Philippians 3, if you want to turn there, I think we looked at this in Sunday school, but Philippians 3, 7 made this very clear in his own walk for God that he had given up the things that pertain to this life on earth for his life for God. Philippians 3 and verse 7. He says, What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Our problem is that we're in love with this life. And we're in love with ourselves. And until we get over that, we're not going to be a fruitful, effective follower of Jesus Christ. We must get to the point where, in comparison to the life to come, we hate this life. That's what he says in verse 25 of John 12. If we hate this life, we'll keep our life unto life eternal. We cannot be an effective servant of Jesus Christ until we die to self. We need to learn to live. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:15, unto him and him alone. You know, one of the earmarks in 2 Timothy 3, God lists about the end times and what it would be like. And one of the things he mentions there is men will be lovers of their own selves. We are definitely in that time, aren't we? Where it's all about loving self, pleasing self, giving self whatever self wants. No, we're Christians now. We belong to God. It's not about self. But notice 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We're no longer to live to self. Now we're to live unto him. And we can't be an effective Christian until that be the case. Why do we struggle with reading our Bibles? Why do we struggle with praying as we should? Why do we struggle with witnessing or being faithful to church? It's because we haven't died to self. It's because we still are allowing self to rule our lives. Self says, no, you don't have time to pray. Self says, no, you're not in the mood to read your Bible. Self says, oh, no, you don't need to be faithful to church. You got too much going on in your life. That's self speaking. That's not God saying those things, is it? God would say, no, put me first, like we talked in Sunday school. Be fully committed to me. In everything, put me first. Seek ye first, amen, the kingdom of God. And that's why we struggle, because we haven't died to self. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. The cross being the picture of death. We need to die daily if we're going to be an effective servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 26, if you go there, John 12, this is our key verse today. Twice he uses this phrase, serve me. And that's our title. He says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Jesus wants service. Now, we can't be effective until we die to self. We can't be fruitful until we die to self. But Jesus wants servants. He calls us servants, but he wants his servants to serve. Amen? This is why we're here. It's why we're left here after we get saved. We're going to heaven. That's done. We have a mansion reserved. So why leave us here to struggle and fight with this world and with sin and with the flesh? Because we're to serve him. And most of us this morning, if we were asked, we would be willing to say, yes, I am here because someone served the Lord and told me about Jesus or invited me to church, but someone was serving Jesus, and that's why I'm here. And that's how it's worked for 2,000 years. We're to serve Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. And so all of us need to ask Jesus the question, Lord, how do you want me to serve you? How? Romans 12, 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Amen? Serving the Lord. That is what God wants. He gave us gifts. He made us responsible to put those gifts to use. But if we're not serving, then we're not doing it. We're not putting them to use. Philippians chapter 2, quickly, if you would, verse 5. God holding up Jesus as an example of servanthood here in Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you. So what mind is that? Which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a, what? Servant. God says, let this mind be in you, the mind of Jesus Christ. He came to earth to be a servant. That's exactly what he did, isn't it? He did not come to earth to be served. He came to serve. And God says, let this mind be in you. The mind of a servant. Now look over to the right. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Jesus is teaching us that those who are willing to die to self can go on to be servants of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. This last phrase, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We are here to serve. Jesus said, if any man serve me, that's why we're here. We're here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's beautiful is he's given us himself in the person of the Holy Ghost to make it possible. He's indwelt us and given us the power to do it. He's given us the gifts that we can serve with. Faithful is he that calleth, who also will do it. He will serve through us. But it comes down to willingness on our part. And so he says here in John 12, 26, if a man serve me, let him follow me. Now we talked about this in Luke recently, what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. A true disciple of Jesus Christ. What does it mean? Well, it means, first of all, to deny ourselves. Look at Luke 9:23, and we'll see this. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. To truly follow Jesus Christ, we can't do it unless we're willing to die to self, unless we're willing to serve him. Luke 9:23, he said unto him, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. There it is, follow me. Amen? Follow me. What did he say to his disciples? And let's look in Matthew 4:19 when he was calling his disciples. He also used this phrase, follow me. Let's look at it, Matthew 4:19. And he saith unto them, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Does that sound like service? Amen. Those men forsake all and followed him. and did what? They served Christ the whole time he was on earth and beyond into the book of Acts. Following Jesus means we're willing to take up our cross. It means we're willing to put our gifts to use. It means we're willing to tell others about Jesus Christ and be fishers of men. If you go to 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it also means that we're willing to go through whatever God sends our way for his sake. Look at it, 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. By doing what? Being willing to suffer. See, I don't want people to get the wrong impression that if I'll sell out for Christ and serve him 100%, it means that all the trials will go away. Wouldn't that be nice? If we could just make that decision and then there'd be no more suffering, no more trials. Doesn't work that way. Part of following Christ is being willing to suffer for Christ. And when we set out to serve Christ and put him first and die to self, we may even suffer more. So there are no promises that we'll suffer less. There's just promises that God will be with us through the suffering that we're following in the steps of Jesus Christ. So back to our verse there, John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. There's that word serve again. Let's look at John 10, if we could, quickly, verse 27. Jesus talking here about a sheep, which is us. And this whole passage just talks about being the good shepherd, that there's many sheep that are his sheep. They're the devil's sheep. But those of us that are his sheep, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and what? They follow me. Amen? They follow the shepherd. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Praise God. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But he says, my sheep, they know my voice, and they follow me. They follow me. And Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. And look at verse 26 again of John 12. If any man serve me, he says, if you will serve me, which I'm asking you and commanding you to do as your master, I want you to take the gifts that I've given you, take the power that I've given you in the Holy Ghost, take the time that I've given you in this life and serve me. If you will do that, him will my Father honor. Now, Jesus didn't have to put that last phrase in there. He could have just said, just serve me because I've given you everything. I've given you eternal life and a home in heaven. I've given you everything that you could ever ask for. Please serve me in return. He didn't have to add to that. And if you will, I'll reward you later. So he goes one step further and says, if you will serve me, which you should do anyway, but if you'll do it, the Father will honor you. Which should be our goal. Amen. Matthew 25:21. Let's turn there quickly. But all through the scriptures, God talks about the crowns that he offers to his children. These crowns are offered to those who will serve Jesus as followers of Jesus Christ. They will put their talents, put their time, put everything to use to follow Jesus. Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Good and faithful what? We often skip over that word, don't we? We focus on the good and faithful part. Good and faithful servant. Servant. Amen? And that's what this passage is about, being a servant of Jesus Christ. Look at John 12:26 again. If any man serve me, this is an if statement. It's not a given. You know why? Because we have a free will. And there are many Christians, they've trusted Christ as Savior, they have eternal life, but they have chosen not to serve Christ. They've chosen to serve self, serve the world, even though they're Christians. But he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. In other words, my servant will go where I go. And if any man will serve me, him will my Father honor. I would hope and pray that each one of us would hope and pray that God would say to us one day, well done, thou good and faithful, what? Servant. You know, when Jesus was complimenting Moses, he referred to him as my servant Moses, my servant David. That's a compliment from God, to be called a servant. You know, we look at that word down here, a servant, and think it's a lowly person. And it is. But from God's point of view, it's an honor to be his servant. It's an honor. And that's his way of honoring us, is by calling us his servant, allowing us to serve the Holy of Holies, amen, the God of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We have the privilege of serving him, hallelujah. And he's even enabled us to do it. So if any man serve me, may that be our goal. God has given us the time, he's given us air to breathe, amen. Our heart is still beating. He's imparted to us the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We should know what those are. He's filled us with his Holy Spirit. He says, now I've given you all of these tools. Please put them to use. Amen. And serve me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your precious word and these last words of Jesus before he went into the upper room with his disciples, Lord, reminding us that you want us to serve, to be a good and faithful servant, that we're to, by love, serve one another. And it goes on and on, Lord, if he is greatest among you, shall be your servant. I pray that would be our desire, that we would recognize that we have the privilege through you of serving until you take us home. And may we avail ourselves of that privilege every day, utilizing the gifts that you've given us and the power that you've imparted to us to be your servant. Please, Lord, make this real in our lives. May we strive to follow and serve you in all things. Thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. We love you.